like just blessed by Martha's willingness to just open up and say, I wanted to give up, but Jesus was there. Martha really opened my eyes to something that I hadn't noticed in the church before. Not like just this church, but the church, capital C. Was something my dad used to say all the time is, Christians are the only ones who bury their wounded. They're the only ones who, when somebody gets hurt, they just kind of, whoa. Okay, so let them heal. And one thing that Martha said last week was, when I was in my deepest hurt, I didn't know I had anybody to turn to. And this week, I had a number of people come back and say, when I was in pain, I didn't feel like I had the church to go to. I didn't feel like the people cared. And that is one of the things that the Lord has laid on my heart, is why we're doing this series, is that relationship-building piece of our core values. I don't ever want to hear the words, when I was in pain and when I felt alone, the church was not there. Now, some people will deny the church and push the church away, I get it. And some people are going to blame the church when the church has nothing to do with it. But in this situation, in these cases, when you are hurting, I want you to know the church is praying for you and we're in support of you. Tell us, tell me, call my leaders and say, I'm in a dark place, I'm in a troubled place, I'm hurting, and we will be there with you. A number of people have called in this last week to say, I'm in this place, will you pray with me? Yes. I can't guess when these things happen. And I know, Martha, nobody had to guess. I know that you told them what was going on. But I want you all to know that we're always going to be praying for you and lifting you up. So please, feel free to text, call, email, show up, whatever it is, and tell us what's happening so we can pray with you and be with you. It can be our secret if you want it to be a secret, or we can share with the church if you want the church folks to come around. But don't feel like you have to be alone in those times. But our five core values are, we're a God-seeking church, a Bible-based teaching church, we're relationship-building, we're outreach-based church. Let me look at it so I know, because that's the exact page on that back wall there, which outreach focuses on. Outward reaching, relationship-building, and next-generation training, and this series is focused on the relationship-building part. We can look at Scripture, and I can tell you what the Scripture says about your situation. But there's power that comes when you hear a testimony of when somebody has been where you are and they've applied Scripture and walked through it. Today we're going to hear a story of really how the Lord can take ultimate rejection and turn it into total redemption. When God can take a life that was broken from birth and put it together and, looking back, say, there he was all along. I've been looking forward to this story since I think the first time that I even mentioned to Jen, I want to do storyline, this is what I want to do. I think the very first name I mentioned, there were two names. Number one was Georgia, number two was Zeke. And Zeke didn't fill out a paper, so I hunted him down and told him I was going to call him up here. And he's been willing, and I'm excited for you guys to hear what the Lord has done in his life. So Zeke, come on up, man. Let's hear it for Zeke. It's really funny because a few months ago, Zeke was on a welcome posse and somebody walked in that hadn't been here for a little while. And Zeke greeted him, hey, welcome to First Church, we're glad you're here with us today. And it was Missy. She walked up and she's like, who's that guy that just greeted me at the door? Like, who are these people? She looked around and she's like, I don't know who these welcome people are, because she was working a different job, so she couldn't be here. And I'm like, well, that's Zeke. She's like, well, he was really friendly. He acted like we knew each other. I'm like, well, that's Zeke. So Zeke and I go back, it's been, let me see, Lydia's eight, whatever, I don't know, is it Sunday? So Lydia's eight, and it was her first Halloween was the night I actually met Zeke. I was working at Community First, and he was there with his son Landon, and it was just this past week, the picture showed up of my kids at Community First, and I sent it to Zeke and said, this is the night we met 7 years ago at Community First. I worked with his girlfriend at the time, Lindsay, and I'd heard his name over and over again, and then I didn't see him again for a while until one day we were at Great Clips, and there was this little boy, which, God bless him, I used to work with students with special needs that sometimes needed medication. And this little boy came running into Great Clips. My wife was so embarrassed by this. And the kid comes running and he's bouncing and jumping everywhere. And he looks at me and he's like, I have ADD. And I was like, did you take your medicine? And And I heard that in the other side of the room. And I look over and I'm like, boy, I know that guy, but I don't know, but he thinks I'm funny, so we're friends now. And then over time, I ran into him at Target, because he worked at Target, and then we ran into each other at Walmart, and Penny was there, Penny Peters was there, and Zeke walked past me, and I stopped him and I said, hey, I want you to come to church. And he said, well, we've actually been talking about coming to church. And he'll share a little bit about that too. But he didn't show up. So I emailed him and said, dude, I missed you today. And it's one of those things where the Lord does something in my life where I will meet somebody and he'll tell me to pray for that person. And I prayed for Zeke from the first time I met him at Community First, from the first time, because the Lord said, you need to be praying for this man. He needs to know that I love him. He needs to know that I'm here. And so I prayed for Zeke all along. And so when I would run into him, I'm like, all right, how long is this going to take before we get to become friends? And so Zeke, since he and Sammy started coming about a year and a half ago, we've become good friends with Zeke and Sammy and Landon. Landon complimented my daughter on her eyes the first time he met her, so... We're watching him very closely. But anyway, so, I need the other microphone. So what I've done is I've created a series of questions, and I sent a letter to Zeke. It's been a couple of months ago now, with the questions, and we've met, and we talked over, and so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask him some questions, and he's just going to share what the Lord has done in his life. So Zeke, briefly tell us about your upbringing and what role God had in your life as a child.
So, like Mark said, we've been friends for quite some time now, and I'm blessed to do this every year. Thank you so much. So, my upbringing, I grew up in a family of five kids, grew up in the church, very involved in the church, Sunday school, Wednesday nights, special events, those kinds of things, up to high school when I was asked to be a speaker and give my testimony in a student-led service on Good Friday. But I also grew up very poor. We were five kids, and my parents had a divorce, and he wasn't even my father. He was a stepfather, and he was the only one I knew, but it was about 8, 9 years old when that happened, and I didn't necessarily have anybody to look up as a father figure. Growing up very poor in Cedar Falls is where I'm from. Was a big challenge because it was a very wealthy town, and if you didn't have the right clothes, didn't have the right friends, lived in the right neighborhood, you weren't accepted. And that was a struggle for me growing up. I didn't really feel close with my brothers and sisters. Didn't have a close family knit or web, I guess, at home. And so the church was essentially where I found my community. Church became my safe place. It was the one place where social status didn't matter. And it was that community that I felt comfortable and with youth pastors and Sunday school teachers and parents that I got to know, that was where I found my kind of safe place.
You said a certain act that the church took on when you guys were out of food, out of money.
Yep.
Your mom became a little more active.
Yeah.
To get food and money, and then when things were good, she would just kind of back out a little bit. And you guys were just kind of run with new families.
Yeah.
During that time.
Yeah, there were plenty of times where my mom would go to church and would talk to the church about not having enough food for the table and whatnot, and then that's kind of what I started to look at the church as is this place to get that from and that need from. But then as soon as we got what we needed or whatever the case was, it was like my mom backed out of it, kind of thing, and it wasn't as involved, and so it was definitely a weird feeling for me at a young age because I didn't know what that meant. So
at that, in this, you saw God more as the community feel, not relationship with God. You had a relationship with people, and the community is what gave you faith, but you didn't really have a foundation of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I was telling Mark when we were going over this is I was telling him that I didn't understand what a personal relationship was with Christ. It was more so the church was just this community that was there, and that was what your church was. That's what your faith was this community of friends and these people that helped you. And that essentially wasn't what it was. I didn't have a friendship or a personal relationship with God.
So The next question was asking about a pivotal moment that made you either seek the Lord out or question God. And Zeke really has two massive pivotal moments, one that turned in one direction and the other one that turned him back. So kind of share your story of your first pivotal moment.
Yeah, so in the high school, I had the moment where I spoke to church and gave my testimony to church. And
this wasn't like a church of like 200 people. How many people were there?
No, there's like 3,000 at this church in Cedar Falls, especially at this service. It was a pretty big service because it pulled a bunch of different community schools in to have seniors talk. So there would be 7 seniors from all different areas of the community that would come in and it filled this church. So yeah, it was a pretty big one. So I do that, and it was fantastic, except at one point I was talking about my faith and how the church gave me a sense of belonging. I wasn't close with my family and that sort of thing, and my mom got up and walked out in the middle of my speech, and that was a big thing, because afterwards you were supposed to stand there after church with your parents and your family so that people could come up and talk to you and ask questions or whatnot, and I was the one that stood alone. Family, everybody was with their families, and I didn't have my family with me, so that was pretty tough. But it essentially talked about how the church was there for me. So fast forward to the end of high school, I was with a group of guys. We were hanging out, we were walking home from something in Cedar Falls, and one of the guys wanted to scale the high school. He was a rock climber, and so he wanted to climb up it. And just being dumb and stupid, I mean, we're in high school, we're stupid, we're dumb. And we went with him. And
you should really do youth ministry.
No, we went with him, and we hung out with him and watched him climb up the mountain, or the mountain, the side of the building, and cops came, picked us up, and took us down. We weren't arrested, but pretty stupid thing to do, and essentially go onto the property of the school. And so we got taken down to the station. We had to be picked up. My mom would come pick me up, so I essentially had to be released with one of the other parents. So, but then kind of came home and went to church that Sunday and went in and immediately felt judged. There were families that I had talked to, families that I had been close with, and they kind of looked at me like I was this incredibly horrible person. And from up until that point, that was really the only family that I felt. You know, I didn't have that close relationship with my siblings. I have a close relationship with my mom, but felt judged by everybody I knew, and it was almost like they were just disgusted with me and didn't want me to be around. And it got me thinking, you know, like after growing up in the church and learning a lot from the church and having that that knowledge that you learn through parables and things, and there were a lot of things like he is who lived out sin, cast the first stone, came to my mind. And on top of that, we all fall short of the glory of God, like all of sin, you know. And those type of things started coming to my mind, and I was like, look, this isn't what it's supposed to be. Like, when I'm in need, I need the community to be here, my community, my church, and they weren't. And that's essentially where I started to look elsewhere. I started to think, and I listened to, I told Mark this, and I was pretty jealous that he got to meet 2 of the 3 band members from DC Talk. But DC Talk was a huge band in my growing up, and I listened to their album a lot. And there's a song that they had where it starts off by quoting a guy who wrote a lot of books and was a speaker and a previous priest. And he said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and then walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. And to me, I started to believe it. And I started to look at it saying, I want to be a part of that if that's what they're going to do. I come in, I make a mistake, I've been so good, and I hadn't done anything. I had siblings that got in trouble with the law a lot. And it was almost like, oh, there's another flick kid getting in trouble. Here we go. Like, let's just blow them off. And so that was something that I barely internalized and walked away.
Now, it wasn't that they came out and said, how could you do this, and we're done with you. It was just that you perceived that that's what was happening. So it wasn't that the church cast you out. It's just that you walked in with that. I learned the word projection when I was at Cambridge. What's inside of me is going to project on you. And so you kind of projected on them that they should reject you, and so they rejected you by perception.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting when you talk about that feeling, because I know that walking in here was tricky then.
Yeah.
So that was your second pivotal moment.
Yeah, it was. The biggest trick part, or the trickiest part about it was Sammy was the one that had actually talked about coming to church. I had had that relationship. I had gone on and had, you know, thought about going to church here and there. Wasn't really a big fan at times. There were a lot of times where I was like, "Bah, whatever." Great morning to sleep in, you know. But
so I'm sorry, I bumped you ahead a little bit.
No,
so
you're good.
After getting picked up and walking away from the church, you went through a season of really roaming.
Mm-hmm.
And you pursued all kinds of other things, but yet you still felt like you needed to return. So kind of talk a little bit about that, because there's a lot of your story that happened in that season.
The
season of roaming alone that you talked about, the fulfillment in, after you got picked up before Sammy. Your world before Sammy, before she made anything right.
So there was a lot of stuff that happened in my life. I mean, I went through and I went through a party stage, and I went to work at restaurants where it wasn't the greatest relationship. There weren't great things that happened. Looked at friendships as that need or that lone to pass that loneliness, and then it turned into a girlfriend here, a girlfriend there, Lynn's mom. I did things that obviously weren't the greatest thing of what God wanted, but there were, I feel like, things that happened so that I could be brought to this place. So I'm not from this town. I grew up in Cedar Falls. Had I not had Landon, I wouldn't be back here. And had Landon came here, was at Target and met Sammy. And that was essentially what brought me to the point with Sammy where I can move forward with him. So is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, perfect.
Nailed it.
So then continue the second part of bringing me back here. So had gone to church a long time, didn't feel the need to for church, and I kind of fell away from God and felt lonely. And then fast forward, it was the friendship parties, that stuff. That's what I was going on with that, sorry. And then Sammy. So I know that I didn't want to embarrass her with this, but Sammy like stuck around. Sammy was one relationship that that showed me through my personal flaws and through my struggles. She was there for me, showed me that someone can love me for who I am, even when I'm not perfect. And that was huge for me, knowing that there have been so many times in my life that if I had a flaw or if I had something, it was like people walk away kind of thing. So through that, we started talking about going to church. She came to me and said, "I think we should look at going to church." And I said, "Okay, let's do it. Let's start looking." There have been people that had talked about churches, but then for whatever reason, Sammy was talking to Rachel, and Rachel had said that she goes to a church here in town, and they had worked together, so that was kind of that connection. And
they didn't work together here. They worked together in like Keosauqua, right?
Yeah, Van Buren School.
That's so. Van Buren. So it wasn't like they were, what are the chances that that would happen? So
right.
Go ahead.
Right, and then, so then they talk about the church, we look it up, and sure enough, we look it up on Facebook, and I see that Mark Hornbeck is the pastor, and I'm like, whoa, I know this guy. This guy's pretty cool.
He's funny, that's what you said.
He's funny is what I said.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get, you know.
I put that in my notes, so that's true.
I can see that. I can see you doing that. But he's funny, and you know, so I knew him. He had jokes, is what I wrote down online, so he had jokes.
Funny jokes.
But no, I didn't put the funny there. For some reason, I just said jokes. So then we come down to church. So Mark had told you that I ran into that at Walmart, and he had said something. I said, "You know, Sammy and I are talking about going to your church. Like, this is going to be great. I think we're going to plan on going next Sunday." And it snowed. And it snowed that Sunday, and Sammy and I woke up, and we were like, this week, maybe next week, kind of thing, and that was that excuse that kind of kept us from it. And I run into Mark at Walmart, and he's like, "Hey," or no, I did that, and then so he emails me that, like he said, he emails me, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I thought I was gonna see you. Hope I can see you. So we say, "Oh crap, Sam, we gotta go."
he's watching.
He's gonna do that. So we go, and the whole time we're getting ready to go, Sammy's like freaking out. I say freaking out, she's like nervous. And I'm asking her, like, what's going on? And she's, like, nervous that we're going to sit in somebody's spot.
So, Terry Smith. That's you, man. That's all you.
That was what she was nervous about. I was nervous coming back into church, knowing what had happened the last time I had called myself a part of a community of the church. And so we come in, and we actually came through the middle doors, and we were kind of hovering around back here. And bless her heart, Judy comes in and has this big welcoming smile on her face and welcomes us with open arms and gives us a little gift basket. And Sammy says, we don't want to sit in anybody's spot. Where's the spot that's empty? So she kind of directs us over here, and we've obviously been over there for the whole time we've been here, for about a year and a half. And there's been other people, you know, like it could have ended there, and we came once, but there have been people like Ben, you know, Travis Swear, I think of two Travises here, and Andrew and Cliff even, you know, and this community that wanted to bring me back to God and show me that God is going to do whatever it takes to bring me back to Him and my family and His church.
And there was a service where it flipped from I see God in my community to I see God in me. And it was right up here, because there was hesitance to come up, but for some reason the Lord led you up here. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want him to know that I'm not going to reject him. And I didn't know his story. And he said, I want him to know this is a real thing. This is love. I'm not going to reject him. I'm not going to walk away. And I'm praying for him, and I look up, and he's bawling, and Sammy's crying. I'm like, okay, y'all, I cry when people cry, so if you could stop doing this. And just being able to pray, and him, you know, I said, does this make sense? Because a lot of times when you pray for somebody, they just give you a nod, and they go back to their seat, and you're like, did that actually speak to you? And I just said, does this all make sense? And he's like, it's exactly what we talked about on the way here. It's exactly what I needed to hear. It's exactly what Sammy's been telling me. See, Sammy, she did it again. But you talked about how it's you love the relationships here, but that relationship with Jesus surpassed the rejection that you had felt. And this is one thing, as we were talking, the rejection that he felt in the church and the rejection he felt from his mom ties back to the rejection he felt with his dad, just never knowing him and feeling that rejection. And so his life was set up, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to be rejected. And so one of the things he said about his relationship with Sammy was they had a quarrel. And he said, are you going to break up with me now? And she looked at him and said, over that? Like, I'm not walking away from you, I am here. I'm not going to reject you like that. And so suddenly, like, this spirit of rejection was very visible in his life. And Sammy has been a key instrument in busting that rejection up. And so anyway, and then last year, you guys were baptized together.
Yeah. So I think that was essentially where we started to look inward and look at having personal relationships with Christ and what that meant. And through the sermons that you have in the church and people pushing to, not in a bad way, but in a good way, to say, hey, we'll see you Sunday, you know, and there hasn't been this fall off where it's like, oh, we missed a week or something like that. It's been coming here and really digging in and having things available to us, the connection groups or the growth groups and us doing the one with you and growing in our spiritual faith and being able to place a foundation for our marriage coming up. And so that's been huge, and it's allowed us to look at each other at the end of the night and say, how do we need to do this, and what do we need to dig into, and how do we pray, and things like that. So there have been plenty of opportunities for us to get into that. So
that's been awesome. So the third question was, how did you see God in the midst of all of these circumstances, going all the way back to now?
So I've seen God as many different, in many different ways. You know, a father figure was the first one, and part of that community, I had God work through people. I mean, there were some people that were instrumental. Like I talked about, a youth pastor was pretty around a lot. There was families of friends that were there for me and things. But I would look at God as being that father figure, even though I didn't have a father growing up. And then a leader. I remember parables and things from church, and so not having a father figure, somebody to kind of guide you and tell you what's right and wrong and things, I really attached to parables and stories on how to be better and how to be a good person, things of that nature. So, and then someone to hide from. There's a part of my life where I felt like I needed to hide from that individual or from God because I didn't want to be a part of the church and the rejection that I felt. And it was kind of one of those things that I just needed to walk away from. And there were plenty of times where I was like, oh, it's Sunday morning, I should be at church, but I'm going to just say that I have to work. I'm working right now. I can't. And now a shepherd, you know, like, there's a, you had a sermon one time where you talked about the 99 and coming after me, you know, and ties into that song, Reckless Love, but he's going to do whatever he needs to do to come get me and bring me back to him, you know, and I think that that's huge, you know, like, little old Zeke, like he's going to go and take care of what he needs to take care of to take me and bring me back to him, and I think that that's incredible, and
when we were talking, he talked about the fact that he has a relationship with Landon's mom, and then she moved here, so he moved here because they had Landon, and he had a job at Target, transferred down here to Target, had a good job at Target, and we, those of us who love Target, loved Target, and then Target shut their doors. And Zeke was now stuck with a decision. And in the midst of that, there was anger. And it was not directed at Target. I mean, some of it was, but it was really directed at God. Why would you bring me here and then do this? And the relationship with Lindsay came to an end in the middle of Target, in the middle of all of that. And then got a job at Indian Hills, which was a lot less money and one that you didn't really like when you got it. And it was just all these things where at the moment, he was angry and questioning God, why? But now, looking back, he was lining it all up and orchestrating it so he would be in this moment in his life. Because if he hadn't moved here, like he said, he wouldn't be one connected with his son, who's an awesome guy. He wouldn't be connected with Sammy, who's been an amazing part of this transformation in the Lord. He wouldn't be part of the church, which he has a gift to be able to make anybody and everybody feel welcome. And he can start a conversation with you about anything, because if he doesn't know what you're talking about, he still smiles as though he does. And he's totally interested. Like he's in it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm here. I want to listen. And it's been one of those things where when we started the Welcome Posse, it was because Zeke told me when we walked in the door, Jimmy was there. And so I contacted him and I said, we're going to start this thing. Will you guys be part of it? Because we need more Judys. And we need more of that mentality of when you walk in the door, I want you to know how loved you are. Because that simple thing of Judy being Judy, smiling and saying, well, let me show you where to go sit down. Let me show you how. Here's the bathroom back here. Here's all these. Just being an open vessel opened a door for God to do something in Zeke and offer healing where he was severely broken. But God, all along, through all of these things, through Target, Indian Hills, through broken relationships, well, the thing that he said for me that I wrote down was God was always fighting for me. Like, for me. He wasn't just fighting ahead of me, but he was fighting for me. He was fighting to save me all along. When I was fighting to get away from him all along, he was fighting for me. That's been an amazing part of it. You're going to make me cry because you're starting to get all teary-eyed and stuff. And you got to wipe your face. All right. So, question number four, without looking at Z. Question number four. What scriptures, songs, or people helped you through this season? Well, we know Sammy did.
Yeah.
And you talked a little bit about the song that really walked you through. What was that?
Yeah, so we had talked about the people. We talked about all those who had welcomed us. But the song was Reckless Love. And that line in that song, that Leave the 99 for me, like, was just, it hit me. Because it was like, and I'll get teary-eyed whenever that song plays, so don't look at me if we're singing that song. But that song means a lot because it made me feel like through all those things that Mark talked about, through Target, where I had this job and I was getting promoted and I felt like I was becoming something and doing something, going away from where I grew up and the poverty that I grew up to, making money and thinking that that was it, and this is what I want, this is what I've got, and then it's taken away, and I think if it hadn't been taken away, I wouldn't have come here. I don't think that there would have been that drive, and then going to Indian Hills. So the day that we announced to the public that Target was closing its doors, Indian Hills had opened the position that I ended up receiving. So it was incredibly crazy, like timing. So the day we close is the day that this door opens up. And when you think about that, and you look back, and at the time, like Mark said, I wasn't like ready for that. I didn't want it. I went in, I told you, I kind of went into the interview at Target very cocky and arrogant.
Indian Hills?
Yeah, I went into the interview at Indian Hills very arrogant and like, I don't want this job, I don't need this, but had I not gotten it, I don't know where I would be, you know, and what that looks like. So the song Reckless Love means a lot to me because it's one of those things where God continued to work through the community of the church and through things like a different job and all those types of things and saying, that song hits me every time.
In the scripture that you hold on to, it's like your life verse. What was that?
Yeah, so Romans 12:9 was my confirmation verse. And I kind of read a little bit beyond just Romans 12:9, kind of going through Romans 12:9-12, and don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying.
That's been, I've read that verse over and over and over again as we've been preparing for this conversation, and that's, if anything holds us to a standard of trusting in God, it's this scripture. It's, in the NIV, it's love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Well, what is good? God is good. Be devoted to one another in love. So that's that eliminating rejection. Honor one another above yourselves, so that's the servanthood. So you're living this scripture out. You know, you really are. Never be lazy, lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And then you talked about this poem, Footprints. I actually wrote it out, or Kanani put it in the bulletin for us, and it's there for you. I'm going to read through it, and then I want you to talk about why this portion here that was the most impacting. So, one night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you the most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you only see one footprint, it was then that I carried you. Thank you, Carolyn Hardy. So give about the part.
Yeah, I mean, it's that piece where he talks about, you know, in your lowest points, like, he carried you, you know, and I think about that for me and what that meant to me and how that there were really hard times in my life, and everybody's had those hard times, you know, and I want you guys to know that that's when God's carrying us, because, yeah, like, we're going to come out in the end. I mean, I get to look back, and hindsight's always 20/20, but I look back, in those hard times, and I look back and I say, had I not had those hard times, I wouldn't be here being able to talk to you guys about my faith and how I now have a personal relationship with God. And that's incredible to me to think about that, and that when I was struggling, God was there.
So what did you learn about yourself, and what did you learn about God in the midst of all of this?
God is always there. He's always giving you what you need. And you may not see it in the moment, but he's going to show you in his time. God works in mysterious ways, and he may talk to you. He may not talk to you like Mark and I are talking to each other, like you would talk with somebody individually, but I've come to see, looking back, that God's going to use people. And God's going to start to use those individuals to have you grow the way he needs you to and guide you. And you know, you're going to be able to hear it. You know, people talk about God talking to you, but you're going to hear it if you are willing to open up your heart and allow him to speak to you through people, through whatever means that he needs to connect with you.
Yeah, the words that I have in bold is always pay attention, because God is always speaking. And that was because you talked about all along God was giving you messages through different people in different places, and you weren't paying attention. But afterwards, you remembered all of those times. And so now, one of your goals is to pay close attention. So what do you realize about yourself in the midst of all this?
That, you know, God's done a lot for me, and at the time I didn't see it, but where I am now, I see that God works, or how God works, and it's just amazing. And I get to grow and move forward with my personal relationship and not worry about being rejected.
Yeah, when we were talking, it was like he said he never realized how rejected he felt, even from his dad, until his relationship with God came around. He never understood how rejected he was and how his eyes were through the filter of rejection until he went through redemption. And now he sees everything from the eyes of redemption and not through the eyes of rejection. And instead of being afraid of what he's going to turn away from him, he knows the Lord's always going to turn towards him. The Lord's always going to be with him. So that's awesome. So how are you hoping this story will minister then to others?
So I wrote those too. So
yeah, go for it.
But I hope that people see what amazing things God can do and how He does them through the bonds, the friendship, the community of the church. God can speak to you, and God will speak to you. So we need to build on that, continue to grow, not as individuals, but as God's people. Be kind, be like God. God loves all of us through all of our flaws. He's always going to be there working on you.
That's awesome. Anybody else able to relate to this? Where you've been through rejection? Where you have felt that power, it wasn't outright abuse, but yet you walked through abusive situations over and over and over again, where looking back on life, the moments where you're the most angry with God are the moments where God was most pouring himself out into you. That's what I saw through this is the ultimate rejection is when your parents walk away. And, you know, when a spouse walks away too, but when a parent walks away from the child and says, I don't know you, when you have that moment to be able to look at life and say, but God has never rejected me. God is redeeming that time. When we talk about redemption, I like to think of when we go into a store and you turn in a gift card and you get to redeem that card. And all of the debt that was there is now gone. And the Lord just looked at his life and said, just call on my name, and his debt was gone. That burden of rejection, that heaviness of pain, was now redeemed into a peace that now he gets to share his story. He gets to walk through his life going, the Lord is my redeemer. The Lord has taken the ashes of my life and turned it into a beautiful story. Sam, will you come up for a minute? I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to anyway. And then see, come on over here. These guys are getting married at the end of May of next year.
God.
Yeah, they're ready for it. They're ready to come on up. Come on up. And can we just do something real quick? Cooper and Rachel, you can go here too. Rachel really was the one who formed the relationship here with Sammy. And Jennifer, come too. We did our growth group, our marriage counseling group together. And then can we just do this? Can we pray for them as... Now, what just happened is this. I didn't tell Zeke this is what was going to happen. Because it's not something that I decided. It's what the Lord does. When we start to share our testimony, the Lord starts to open doors for us to share our testimony. And I'm praying for him a boldness and a courage to be able to stand and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord did. He healed something only he could heal. He broke things only he could break. And he did something only he could do. And Sammy, it's funny because I asked Sammy, what made you want to start going to church? And she just said, I just thought we should. And that was it. Like, I just thought we should go to church. And it's amazing to me that the Lord has done so much transformation. Church, can you all stand and we pray for them as they're getting ready to go into their marriage, to go into this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next time I'm going to have you run and hit hand. I'm just kidding. Everybody get in line and give them a hug, so as you leave. No, we won't do that. That's creepy. Anyway. But I want you all to extend your hands forward, because what the Lord has done now is open a door for a supernatural blessing for them to share what the Lord has done. We haven't even gotten to Sammy's story yet. That'll come soon, I'm sure. That'll happen. So let's put our hands on this. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Zeke and his story, and Lord, for Sammy bringing her into Zeke's life. Lord, we thank you for Rachel and her faithfulness and willingness to share her faith with Sammy, Lord, being willing to stick her neck out, even as a young believer, and say, well, you should really come. You should really be in church. Lord, I thank you for bringing them here. Lord, there are a lot of churches in this town. I thank you for all those churches. Lord, I thank you you brought them here so that they can bless us. So they can be a part of our ministry, the movement of your spirit, Lord. We pray right now that now the doors are open for them to share their story, for Zeke to be able to share what it was like to be rejected into a place of redemption, to say, I know my Savior lives because only he can do what has been done. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for how their lives are going to walk out before you, Lord. We thank you that you're continually teaching us and training us and preparing us for what's to come. Lord, we lift up their marriage and we dedicate it to you. Even today, months before it's in place, Lord, we pray for the anticipation and excitement of your Spirit to come. Anoint them as they walk out, Lord. Remind them of your faithfulness every day. And Lord, continue to bring peace into every situation that tries to bring pain. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we hear it for Zeke and Sammy? You guys, these stories are life-changing. These situations have been incredible to get to know you all more. Next week, on the calendar, on the schedule, if we can work it out together, I have Ryan and Megan Borowski, and they're going to share parts of their story. They're not going to share a whole thing, because they've got powerful stories. But the Lord has done great things in their lives, and I'm not going to embarrass them. They're going to share what the Lord lays on their heart to share, and nothing more. But I want you to be praying for them as they prepare to do what Zeke just did. You guys come here for a second. Ryan and Megan, I'm all about embarrassing people by accident, so... I'm going to embarrass her because she doesn't like to do this kind of stuff. It's not intimidating, I promise. It's not scary. But can we pray for Ryan and Megan now? Because, let me just tell you what, the enemy has been pounding, hasn't he? Big time. Ever since they agreed to share their story and they said they wanted to share it, the enemy has pounded to destroy confidence in the Lord. In them. And I don't even know what's been going on, but that's the way he's been talking to me about you. And so, can we pray for them for confidence that the Lord is turning this thing around for the best? For them, because they love the Lord, you love Jesus, and you know God loves you. And so there is nothing lost here. So let's do this now, stretch our hands forward, and pray for them as they prepare to share. Heavenly Father, we pray for Ryan and Megan, for Emerson, for Aslan, and for Gwen. Lord, you have done an amazing thing in their lives. And Lord, the devil is so mad, but he cannot win. Bring confidence in your love for them, right to their souls. Lord God, we pray right now that they walk out in the peace that you gave them the moment they call on your name. Pour out your grace and your mercy on their steps ahead of them, Lord God. Be with them this week. Spirit of God, we pray you bring peace to Megan and Ryan. Bring confidence, and Lord Jesus, the words that are going to come out of their mouths are exactly what you have orchestrated for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, we thank you so much for being here today. Be blessed as you go. If Zeke's story ministered to you, please reach out and let him know, let me know. But know that that same God is working out miracles in you. Be blessed.